think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One of the missed opportunities last night, I think, Maria, was Joe Biden should be very clear that if you in Iran, and Iran can, there's a difference between Iran saying nothing and telling them don't do it. And we should be very clear. Iran should be telling these folks, their proxies, if you should not attack U.S. interests and troops. And the red line there is, if you do, we will respond with overwhelming force. That kind of clarity is just not what happened last night. Again, it's this cynical attempt to bootstrap Ukraine funding on the back of support for Israel. All of these things considered separately, let's be clear with Iran about what the consequences are of their proxies moving forward and killing Americans. Again, it's projecting weakness from this president, and it's the region is, you know, it's a disaster right now because, again, American foreign policy has been obsessed by the Democrats of appeasement and trying to, you know, apologize for the previous administration, which, by the way, we had peace. You had the Abraham Accords. There were no wars. So, it's, you know, what that tells me and the American people is let's be strong. Let's be deterrent here. You know, we have a deterrent force that they respect. And right now, this president isn't respected, and we're seeing the deadly consequences play out on the world stage.
Exactly stated correctly by Missouri Eric Schmidt, a Missouri senator, pointing out that we are failing on numerous opportunities here, as he laid it out and saying basically a key point was also missed inside everything, and that is there was really nothing from Biden regarding hostages. We'll get into that in more detail. But what we have, Missouri Senator Schmidt pointing out, is that we definitely are failing in our leadership in the world. That is correct in so many ways. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, hour one of Larry Connors USA, the first of 2 hours back-to-back, October 20, 2023. And if you miss anything, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up, listen to it, or watch it again, because we are streaming during this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, also News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. So you've got a lot of opportunities. So last night, I don't know how many of you bothered listening to President Biden. There are some key points I want to share with you. Overall, it was a smattering of Ukraine, and a little bit of Israel, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. Ukraine, and more Israel, and more Ukraine. It was just all over the place, but it was focused. And that's the key, tying everything to Ukraine. Is he missing the point and not understanding where most of the American people are right now? Well, let's go back and pick him up at his open.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We're facing an inflection point in history. One of those moments where the decisions we make today are going to determine the future for decades to come. That's what I'd like to talk with you about tonight. You know, early this morning, I returned from Israel. They tell me I'm the first American president to travel there during the war. I met with the prime minister and members of his cabinet. And most movingly, I met with Israelis who had personally lived through horrific horror of the attack by Hamas on the 7th of October. More than 1,300 people slaughtered in Israel, including at least 32 American citizens. Scores of innocents, from infants to the elderly grandparents, Israelis, Americans, taken hostage. As I told the families of Americans being held captive by Hamas, we're pursuing every avenue to bring their loved ones home. As president, there is no higher priority for me than the safety of Americans held hostage.
So President Biden did mention the hostages last night, but that was pretty much it. I have some good news for you, according to Fox News, that two American hostages have been released from Gaza. Now, this is information that's coming from Fox News. There'll be additional verification, I'm sure, later. But the point being is that as to how and why, when we say released, it indicates to me that they actually turned them free. But we also know they hold many others. And the point here is that we still have an unconfirmed number. The number continues to grow and move around a little bit as to how many are actually being held hostage. And now if they have released two, well, that's closer to what we want. Does not say necessarily the... Let me check the report again. It keeps changing on me here, if you'll bear with me for a moment. The original report said American hostages. Let me see if they're sticking with that story because, again, you're talking about a fluid situation. I want to avoid the issue that we saw with Hamas attacking or blaming Israel for the attack on the hospital. Yeah, it says two American hostages. We'll continue to watch that for you. So Biden, again, in his open, he talked about, he did mention the hostages, and it's a prime concern. But here we go again. And it befuddles me to use a calm word as opposed to going, makes me go crazy. But befuddles a little bit quieter. But it makes me go crazy. Again, he wants to try to tie Ukrainian funding into this. The Maui fire, tie Ukrainian funding to it. A car wreck in San Francisco, tie Ukrainian funding to it. This is where this president has his head stuck. So once again, to Biden and his aid package.
I also spoke with President Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, and reiterated the United States remains committed to the Palestinian people's right to dignity and to self-determination. The actions of Hamas terrorists don't take that right away. Like so many other, I'm heartbroken by the tragic loss of Palestinian life, including the explosion at the hospital in Gaza, which was not done by the Israelis. We mourn every innocent life lost. We can't ignore the humanity of innocent Palestinians who only want to live in peace and have an opportunity. You know, the assault on Israel echoes nearly 20 months of war, tragedy, and brutality inflicted on the people of Ukraine.
See, had to throw in Ukraine at the same time. I'm not saying we can't look at both, but I would have thought last night on it, freshly back from Palestine, he'd be focusing on Palestine. He did talk to the Palestinian leader, but back from his trip to Israel, that he would focus on that situation. That is the hottest boiling point right now. I'm not dismissing Ukraine and the Russian invasion and how we need to keep an eye on it and be involved to an extent. I just think we continue to dump money into a hole without any accounting. Same thing we did in Afghanistan. And let me break down this Iranian aid package as his proposal. It, basically, they're going to call it an Ukrainian aid, but here's how it breaks out. $14 billion to Israel, okay? $60 billion in funding to Ukraine. That gives you the balance, doesn't it? Now, is Israel more likely to have capabilities than Ukraine? Yes. But at the same time, while Ukraine is under direct assault, the country itself, Israel isn't at this point. Yes, there were incursions and killing innocent Israelis along the border, but the whole nation isn't directly under attack. But the threat is still there, always has been, and will continue, and especially with Hamas actively involved right now, and Hezbollah firing again from Lebanon. And in that $100 billion, $60 billion to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel, $10 billion more in humanitarian aid to Ukraine. What was the first $60 billion for? Oh, then they had $10 billion in humanitarian aid to Ukraine and around the world. $14 billion for border funding. That's not going to be building a wall, increasing security, really. Border funding to address drug trafficking and fentanyl. That's easily solved. Close the border. And then $7 billion for the Indo-Pacific Taiwan issue. We're just made out of money, aren't we? $100 billion there, $500 billion there, blah, 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 blah. No big deal. Billions have become a new form of currency. Pretty soon, you know, folks who leave their pennies behind on a counter, now leave their nickels behind. Pretty soon you're going to start leaving your $20 behind. Ah, that's, I don't need that. That's $20. Missouri Senator Smith, again, on this package, in his opinion, is extremely cynical.
This is all about politics. It's meant to bootstrap other initiatives, let's say like Ukraine, that are less popular, that we've already spent $112 billion on, with something right now that has a lot of support with Israel. It's really cynical. It's what's wrong with Washington. But the main point here is, just like with our appropriations process, which, by the way, Chuck Schumer has spent 0.0 minutes this whole year debating any funding bill, any appropriations bill, we need to make sure we have those debates on those individual bills by themselves too. But the same is true with this foreign aid package. Separate it out. Let's have real debate. Let's consider this like we're supposed to be. The Senate is supposed to be a thoughtful place where you have real debate and you make important decisions. We're not doing any of that.
No, because they throw it at you as an omnibus bill. It's just a massive train barreling down on you. You either get out of the way or jump on board. Oh, wretch, you've been run over by the train, which is more likely to happen. Florida Congressman Greg Stube was on with Maria earlier today, Maria Bartiromo, and he also was talking about the concern for all the hostages, not just the American, but certainly that we have concerns for those Americans.
The Biden administration and his speech yesterday said nothing about the hostages that are being held, American hostages that are being held by Hamas terrorists. Why are we not doing what we can to get those people back to America? He's doing a show of force by putting aircraft carriers there, but they're obviously not wanting to do any type of action. I think that's wrong. I think when we have Americans that have been captured by terrorists, we should go get them. We shouldn't be paying money to the Iranians, who then give money to Hamas, and now he wants to give $100 million more dollars to the Palestinian Authority, which is going to go directly to Hamas. This administration is funding the war against Israel, and those people have, I think it's 20 now hostages or 30 hostages of American citizens, and this administration's not doing anything about it.
I do have to correct the Florida congressman because, again, Biden did mention the hostages very briefly and then moved on. Now, another thing Biden did say is true, but on this point, he's failing.
American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances is what keep us, America, safe. American values are what make us a partner that other nations want to work with. To put all that at risk, if we walk away from Ukraine, if we turn our backs on Israel, it's just not worth it. That's why tomorrow I'm going to send to Congress an urgent budget request to fund America's national security needs, to support our critical partners, including Israel and Ukraine. It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations. Help us keep American troops out of harm's way. Help us build a world that is safer, more peaceful, more prosperous for our children and grandchildren.
He began by saying American leadership is critical. Well, you're failing in that, and you're going to keep our troops out of harm's way. What you're doing is you're funding some money to Israel and much to Ukraine, and we know you also have been giving money to the PLO, which also goes to Iran and other terrorist groups, and the $6 billion you wanted to unfreeze and give Iran, much less lifting sanctions, and that $6 billion is paltry compared to the $100-plus billion they've gotten from oil sales because you have not been enforcing sanctions. Leadership is what you said. Leadership is where you're failing. Now, Israeli Defense Forces, of course, are gathered on their side of the buffer zone since October 7. Here we are, October 20. Every day there's word that they're ready to get the green light to invade. And now almost 3 weeks later, what are the delays? Well, former Naval Officer Don Bramer.
This is not just an issue on the Gaza border right now. This is expanding across every side of Israel, and it's expanding in the region. One thing I do think that the Israelis are being very smart about is not being too hasty in their ground attack. You know, since October 7th, they've arrested or detained close to 600 Hamas operatives, just 60 last night. Several were key players with Hamas who, I believe, they're taking this as an opportunity to collect these operatives and gather as much intelligence as they can so that they might be able to find out where are those hostages, where are the Hamas strongholds. And the key thing here is you look at all of the missile strikes that Israel has sent in to Palestine have been very surgical. They have hit weapons depots, they have hit tunnels, and they have hit compounds that are holding Hamas.
Now, when he talked about they've gathered, or they've captured some Hamas leaders and troops, they're not saying exactly where, but it indicates that they have special forces. They've gone inside the Gaza Strip, and they have grabbed some of the Hamas terrorists to get information as to where are these hostages being held. For that reason, it might be why now we've been getting a report that two American hostages have been released from Gaza. Possibly they're already looking to get some of their people back, especially if it's one of their leaders. But they are after intel. So they want more intel before they make the move. I think that's wise on several points, to avoid killing hostages and civilians. But, of course, at the time, anytime you have a pause or you don't activate your firing immediately, well, then you're going to give the terrorists an opportunity to move weapons and people around as well. So we have U.S. Special Forces apparently in some cases activated to help get hostages back. We have not gotten a lot of detail, nor should we at this point. And U.K. has sent some special forces, and of course Israeli special forces involved in getting hostages free. A lot of this stuff we should not be aware of at this point in detail, because we want the job done. We can talk about all about it in the publicity later, but let's get them out as we can. In the meantime, Iran has been sending out a message of doom.
An official for the Iran-backed Hezbollah militant group, meanwhile, reportedly warning that it is, quote, 1,000 times stronger than before, and that U.S., Israel, and other, quote, malicious Europeans should be careful, Don. Your thoughts on these warnings out of Hezbollah?
Well, at the same time that we keep asking our Congress for money for Israel, for Ukraine, we're giving money to Iran. And where do we think that money's going? That's what's making Iran stronger by the day. They're using these sources, even when they're not in their bank, they're using them to fund all these tentacles that we keep hearing about. We can't keep writing blank checks. I believe that Iran, its proxies, are really trying to look at every small step they can to provoke the United States. They're trying to provoke our allies. You know, we have, there's UK allies in the region that have put their ships, their planes. I think they're trying to provoke us and see what will it take to get us involved, so that then it's not us getting involved because of Iran and Hezbollah, it's them getting involved because of actions that the United States has taken. So it's a provocative statement.
It is a provocative statement. That's Don Bremer, former Naval Intel. And Iran will always blame the U.S. for actually creating whatever happens. And we saw how fast the state-controlled media, the worldwide media, will buy any story from Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour, a closer look at how the New York Times and other so-called journalists failed on facts while selling lies. New York Times right at the top. And what were the thoughts of Harry Truman? President Truman of Missouri, when he decided we have to use the A-bomb once and maybe again. That's coming up in the next hour. Later in this hour, Iran behind the scenes pulling puppets here and there to provoke World War III, possibly. In the meantime, USMC Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood retired on our U.S. troops and naval carriers in the Mideast, downrange, as we say, waiting for the green light of the mission. Does Iran consider them a threat? Or do they look at Biden and say, no chance? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau,
314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My director, Quentin, I love that song. And in fact, I'd love to share a whiskey, not Jim Beam, but Jack, with my next guest, U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired now with the Heritage Foundation. Semper Fi, welcome aboard, sir. Hello, Colonel.
Oh, hey, there you go. Oh, okay. It sounded like a call drop. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. I was just inviting you to have a drink of whiskey with me.
I am on your doorstep in 5 minutes.
I believe that. U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood retired, as I said, with the Heritage Defense Issues. I don't want to get overly political in the beginning. In fact, I won't, because I know Heritage does not like to dive into those. But the Biden speech last night, was it supposed to be about Israel or Ukraine? What was the intent as far as what we're going to be doing?
Well, it was about him. I mean, you know, where you have these two wars going on, and he starts talking about president to go in since Lincoln or all that stuff. I mean, what was the focus, right? I think the intent was to try to say that in both wars, America's interests are at stake, and so we should be focused on both. But this blending of the two, I don't think worked out well at all.
I think it diluted both of them.
Yeah, I mean, you take away. So you're going to talk about the atrocities committed by Hamas on Israelis, you know, babies and women and all that stuff. Or are you going to talk about value systems? Are you going to talk about oil skyrocketing to $200 a barrel if a wider war kicks off? So there is an interest to tamp that down in some way so that Hezbollah or Iran doesn't get involved? Or are you going to talk about U.S. interest in Europe and NATO and what happens if Russia wins? So it was all just, you know, convoluted, and I don't think it was very effective.
The only thing I was missing is what's the favorite ice cream again. But aside from that, I'm looking at a comment we were airing earlier before you joined us from Don Bramer, former Naval Intel, and he's saying about how Israeli special forces, he didn't really identify them as that, so we might have U.S. special forces and U.K. special forces involved. We're told they're in the theater. Captured about 60 Hamas terrorists just last night. And they're still trying to gather intel. Your thought on that and what you know about, and then also how important is that intel before a ground invasion begins?
Well, to the last part, it's absolutely essential. You know, there's this warren of tunnels underneath Gaza. that Hamas has been using for 25 years, where are their command and control centers, where might hostages be located, booby traps, improvised explosive devices. I mean, you're trying to get a very detailed picture of this very congested, lethal environment before you go stumbling in. So it's absolutely essential to get that kind of information. In terms of special operations forces, they do have a mystique to them for very good reasons. And it's not so much that they're so much better shooters, but they're older, they've got more experience, and they've got a lot more sophisticated tools that allow them to get in and out of places that conventional forces aren't able to do with the same level of effectiveness. So having these teams on the ground, thinking through what the problem might be, and so that you reduce the risk to your own force while maximizing the opportunity for success and accomplishing the mission. And that's very deliberate. You know, if they just went rushing in, you would see all kinds of mayhem. So it's sure. completely understandable that we haven't seen such an offensive action, you know, in short order.
And, well, the other point being is that if those special forces, and I agree with you fully, we don't want to know everything made public at this point. We should not have it made public. But it indicates to me, if we've captured that many, that we're actually pulling them out of Gaza. We're sneaking in, grabbing them, pulling them out. Do you understand there's still any Hamas inside Israel?
There are a bit, but I completely agree with your point that number of people, and they have had these probing attacks. You know, we haven't had the big all-on onslaught
right.
that everybody's waiting for, but they have had incursions into Gaza to probe, see what the defensive structure's like. Can you capture enemy combatants? There's intelligence value to that. So you're trying to map this situation. That's more than likely where they got these prisoners from.
And, you know, word broke today from Fox News that two American prisoners have been released.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to have these 199 or 200 hostages all in one location. They're going to be distributed out there. So as you're doing the probing, as you're finding terrorists, not kill, you will come across these little pockets where hostages have been maintained. And I think that's a very good thing.
One other thing before I switch one turn I want to make, but I've heard that we now are finding, or they are reporting, that when the Hamas forces came across, they brought with them IEDs and so forth, and they planted them all around southern parts of Israel.
We would be surprised if that didn't happen. So if you recall U.S. operations in Iraq with the Iranian-sponsored militia groups, it was the Iranians that trained them how to make these IEDs and, more worryingly, the explosively formed penetrators, these EFPs that can cut through modern battle armor.
Right.
So for them to have brought in these sorts of booby traps to make life difficult for the Israelis, to kill more innocent people, it's just part of their playbook.
Now, the other thing was, yesterday I was running some sound with so-called the Green Prince, the Yousaf, who had been a Hamas, son of a Hamas terrorist leader, and had been with them for decades, and then decided, I can't do this, defected to Israel, became a Christian, actually, joined Sinbad to give them some intel from Hamas. And he said, I think the only way you're going to be able to deal with them in the tunnels, and this is the thing that is frightening for a lot of people, is gas.
Well, I mean, that is worrying. Israel and the United States and others have sworn off the use of chemical munitions, that sort of stuff. But if you recall, back to World War II and Korea and Vietnam, where the enemy was making ample use of tunnels, there was ample use of flamethrowers, of explosives, very close quarters battle. So I just don't think that Israel will go to the extent where you're using a nerve agent or something along those lines. That would turn the world against them even more than the world usually is anyway, an anti-Semitic or anti-Israel sort of a point of view. So there are other techniques. It incurs more risk on your own force, but usually the Israelis are more inclined to accept risk to try to do the right thing and getting at the enemy and minimizing civilian casualties.
Well, one thing he had pointed out yourself, he said, the point is they don't care about lives, and they don't care how many innocents are killed, and they're counting on the Israelis will try to show restraint.
Well, that's just it. So that's where an authoritarian, brutal, religiously driven regime kind of has the tactical advantage because they aren't working on the same value set. The challenge for freedom-loving people with the kinds of values that value life that the Western world has in particular is that you have to decide whether you're going to descend to the level of your enemy and be as brutal as your enemy is. And we try not to do that. It's very hard, given the torture and the atrocities and the desecration of the dead that we have seen and the passions that that inflames. But, you know, I think happening outside the battle zone and trying to then, you know, share these concerns with the Israeli government, you know, they're good people as well, and they'll try to restrain their own folks from seeking the most vicious instincts.
So we're talking about this new aid package the president put forward, $60 billion in funding to Ukraine, another $10 billion in humanitarian aid to Ukraine and the world. I don't understand the difference in the numbers as to what it means by humanitarian for the $10 billion versus $60 billion, but $14 billion to Israel. What's your reaction?
Well, there's a scale. I mean, we could give $100 billion to Israel. What would you spend that on, and where do you put all that stuff, right? So the theaters in their size and the size of the forces involved, there's kind of only so much you can do by giving a pallet of MREs, you know, in one case rather than the other. On the Ukrainian side, the larger number is the military equipment and munitions and all the stuff that goes along. Humanitarian aid is usually medical supplies and food, blankets, you know, that sort of thing to help people. That is inherently less expensive than, you know, $80,000 missiles, right?
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, and Gaza is now trying to claim that, you know, we can't really get the humanitarian aid, and they're blaming anyone other than themselves right now. They were supposedly going to open the gate and get some humanitarian aid in. There's no doubt civilians caught in the middle of this are suffering. But when the aid comes in, who's going to get it first? The terrorists.
Oh, the Hamas, absolutely. You know, and if the Arab world was so concerned about the plight of the Palestinians, Egypt would want him to be doing more. But the Egyptians don't want the Palestinians in Egypt, and they don't want Hamas because of linkages to the Muslim Brotherhood and some of the other bad actors. So it seems that the Palestinians are caught in this boxing match between Arab countries and Israel and the terrorist organizations that are Iranian-backed. Iran doesn't play well with the Arab world as well. And so in war, innocent civilians like children are always caught in the middle. You know, they haven't picked up a firearm, but these terrorists like Hamas that uses innocent civilians as human shields, you know, they're the ones that should be blamed. But if you put in $100 million worth of humanitarian assistance, and it's medicine and food and fuel and all that stuff, absolutely the fighters are going to get that first. They'll just pilfer all that stuff and then blame Israel and the United States for not being, merciful and, siding with the Israeli oppressors, occupiers.
Right.
And they'll use that to propaganda effect.
Yeah, as we have seen among members of our Congress. I want to thank you, sir, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, U.S. Marine Corps. Thanks again for your time and Semper Fi, sir.
God bless. Semper Fi, thanks.
You bet. Coming up, the issue with dealing with some of these hostages, but also the aid itself. Missouri Senator Smith.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hope to die. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's just no way this package, as it's been presented or we know about right now that we'll receive probably today, should move forward in its current form. These bills and these particular issues, they're disparate issues. They have different considerations. They have different realities on the ground. They have different levels of support. They have different likelihoods of success. We need to stand with Israel, but we also need to make sure that these bills are considered separately. So if you're asking for money for Ukraine, that should be its own bill. If you're asking for money for Israel, that should be its own bill.
Those are the words of Missouri Senator Schmidt, Eric Schmidt, and I fully agree with him. They should be broken up separately. Why is Biden doing it this way? Because he can. And just throw it at the wall, and they'll have many on the left saying, oh, great, and Ukraine support is there. But the problem is, you could endorse and support Ukraine, but look how much we've already thrown into that. And the speech, I would say if you'd asked anybody in advance what you thought the speech was going to focus on, it would have been Israel. It was almost as if Israel was a footnote. That might be harsh for some to hear, but I tell you, once he starts talking about Ukraine, he just goes off down that track. And the Israeli issue is put aside. Then he tries to bring it all back together. I don't know who the hell his speech writing is, who's doing it for him. I would ask why he even signs off on and agrees to it, but I'm not sure he's capable of making a cohesive and a coherent discussion about the subjects on a separate level and state to his writers, Israel, 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 Israel. Simple as that. Now, I just flashed across my mind from Missourian Harry Truman as president had on his desk, as you well recall, the buck stops here. Not in the Biden administration. The buck keeps going everywhere. It's not going to stop in front of him if it's going to be responsibility. And we will, in the next hour, talk about Harry Truman's thoughts on having to end the Second World War with the atomic weapon, not once but twice, and how close we might be moving that direction now, which is not a good consideration. Let me go over this presentation as presented by Biden last night on some of the money he wants. It's always money. Everything in the view of the leftist can be solved by money. Your money. Again, back to someone else. Let's quote Margaret Thatcher saying, socialism is all good until you run out of the other people's money. Then it's not so good. So the Biden administration requesting more than $105 billion in supplemental funding from Congress, providing security, humanitarian assistance for countries in conflicts, Ukraine, Israel, and other key U.S. priorities. So how does it break out? Well, if you read it just on the breakout version only, $60 billion in funding to Ukraine, another $10 billion in humanitarian aid to Ukraine and around the world, $14 billion to Israel, $14 billion for border funding to address drug trafficking and fentanyl, $7 billion for the Indo-Pacific Taiwan region. Now, I've already broken up some of this earlier when we were talking about the beginning of the hour. If you missed it, I'm sorry, I don't have time to go back over it right now, but there's no doubt there's a lot of waste in there. I have no doubt there is. And if he just presented, we need $14 billion to get to Israel, that thing would sail through immediately. Once we have a full Congress in action, of course. Another issue that I've been kind of watching is where we're going to be going or what's going to be happening with the hostages. Now, the word coming out earlier, obviously, was that Fox News is indicating that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, are saying most of the hostages are still alive. That I'm glad to hear. And that two Americans, I'm not bearing the lead, I'd mentioned this earlier, two Americans have been released. When they say released, I assume the Hamas terrorists turned them loose. Now, did they volunteer or were they facing special forces that had guns trained on them, and yeah, we'll give them up. I don't know. Or did we take them from them, and now they're free? There are a lot of this that will take time to sort out. But right now, some of the latest coming out of the region is, again, indicating everyone's waiting on any moment for the ground invasion. But as we discussed earlier, and again with Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood a moment ago, you don't want to just run in and not really have a lay of the land and be ready to understand what you're going to be facing. So let me update the information about the two American hostages apparently handed over to the Red Cross. Even CNN is now reporting it. So let's add their part of the story so folks are not thinking, oh, Fox is making it up, just going crazy with it. The two Americans released by Hamas, and that's the wording they're using, being released, a mother and her daughter, according to someone familiar with negotiations and a diplomatic source, say the mother and daughter were handed over to the Red Cross on their way out. The source familiar with the negotiations said they were released on humanitarian grounds because the mother's in poor health. It's unclear whether they're going to leave Gaza into Egypt or Israel at this point. It is apparently a result of negotiations between Qatar and Hamas that started after Hamas attacked and killed and then kidnapped some 200 from Israel October 7th. The Hamas spokesman is stating, in response to Qatari efforts, the brigades have released two American citizens, a mother and daughter, for humanitarian reasons to prove to the American people, here it comes, it's a PR act, but either way, I'm glad to have the mother and child released. Releasing them for humanitarian reasons to prove to the American people and the world, that the claims made by Biden and his fascist administration are false and baseless. And, of course, add credence to the members of Congress, including Congresswoman Tlaib, trying to throw several names in at one time, that are all gathering, along with the other squad members, shouting out, basically, death to Israel. No, they're not saying that directly, but that's the intonation. You know, because they're blaming the dispute over land as a reason for Hamas to do this barbaric act they carried out. Hamas is not going to convince me by releasing the mother and daughter that they're good people. Not after you've seen the butchering that they carried out in Israel. But we're going to take anyone we can under whatever means. You know, sometimes, even if someone does something, they think they're doing it only for their ego, but if other people benefit, fine. Let them have the stroke of ego. If they're doing it because they think they'll be praised and held higher esteem than what they really are, fine. Let them have that, as long as we're getting what is needed, and in this case, getting hostages free. But as far as supplies getting in, there's where another sticking point has been for some time. Apparently, there continue to be some Israeli strikes around the area, not right where they would be crossing from Egypt. But now Egypt is saying no humanitarian will be allowed in until tomorrow, Saturday at the earliest. And some are fearful that that's going to be too late for some in true need. It may well be. The Israeli defense minister told troops around the border this week they would soon see Gaza from the inside, indicating again, at any moment, we might invade. But you don't want to do it till you really have a lay of the land, and you know where the hostages are, and you have a clear understanding of what they're going to face once they get inside, because that is still a delicate issue. There's nothing worse for a police SWAT team or a military rescue squad to get hostages free but also kill some in the process. Not at all what they intend, but it can happen. And sometimes it can happen because as they're trying to rescue them, those holding them decide we're going to detonate a bomb and take everybody else with us. Last night, President Biden made a point to look back in history. That can be good, to learn from your mistakes from history. It's a good idea. You avoid repeating them. But I'm not sure President Biden has actually learned.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy, completely annihilate it. Hamas' stated purpose for existing is the destruction of the state of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people. Hamas uses Palestinian civilians as human shields, and innocent Palestinian families are suffering greatly because of them. Meanwhile, Putin denies Ukraine has or ever had real statehood. He claims the Soviet Union created Ukraine. And just 2 weeks ago, he told the world that if the United States and our allies withdraw, and if the United States withdraw, our allies will as well, military support for Ukraine would have, quote, a week left to live, but we're not withdrawing. I know these conflicts can seem far away, and it's natural to ask, why does this matter to America? So let me share with you why making sure Israel and Ukraine succeed is vital for America's national security.
And it is, and within that is a statement of leadership. But we're in this position because this American president has allowed other countries to see us as extremely weak. That is exactly why Russia went in to Ukraine. They did it during Obama's reign into Crimea. And Trump came in, everything cooled down, got the Abraham Accord. Even Jake Sullivan of the Biden administration just weeks before the Hamas invasion of the attacks was saying everything's cool in the Middle East. It was never cool, and they were waiting for someone weak to be brought to the top by those who are so concerned about pronouns and whose bathroom, as opposed to our military might strengthen our basic force upon the world, where they recognize we will be dealt with if you step out of line. So the president did do good to talk about the history and everything else, but he's ignoring to learn the lesson from it. You're doing that. Let's look back in history, and it was mid-July 1945 that President Truman was notified of the success test of the atomic bomb. He had options in front of him at that time. One, continue conventional bombings of Japanese cities, invade Japan, demonstrate the bomb on an unpopulated island, or drop the bomb on an inhabited Japanese city. We were already, since 42, carrying out conventional bombing of Japan. Estimated 300,000 killed during that time. And then, of course, a ground invasion of the Japanese homelands. We could do, but experience had shown the Japanese were not going to surrender and willing to die at great sacrifice to Americans. And then drop an atomic bomb on an unpopulated area. Would that frighten them into doing so? Would it? So President Truman forming an interim committee to advise him, and their advice, use it as it's intended, stating we can propose no technical demonstration likely to bring an end to the war. We see no acceptable alternative to direct military use. So Truman and advisors agreed that the only way to make it clear was to bomb a Japan city, Japanese city. So on August 6, 1945, the American B-29 bomber, the Enola Gay, dropped the first atomic weapon over the city of Hiroshima. Temperature at the blast site, 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit. Sky seemed to explode. Shadows of people were cast upon stone and etched forever. 80,000 killed as a direct result. President released a press release talking about 16 hours ago we did this. Now will you receive and accept a peace and an end, a ceasefire from your side? They would not. So a week later, the second drops on Nagasaki, killing between 50 and 80 million. The president admitted that he was conflicted over his decision. He got a telegram from a Senator Russell of Georgia encouraging him to use as many atomic bombs as possible. Truman's response, I know that Japan is terribly cruel, uncivilized, talking about in those days, obviously. He said, but I cannot bring myself to believe that because they are beasts, we ourselves should be in that same manner. I'm only going to do it if it's absolutely necessary. It was a heavy burden, as he said. I had to say yes or no. Ultimate question, shall we drop the bomb on a living target? He has never shirked personal responsibility, never apologized, never asserted use it again, such as in Korea. How many lives were saved on both sides? We'll never know, but we know how many did die at the time, and we know it ended the war. Coming up, are we really going to see movement forward now or not? Lock and load, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.